that in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the ultimate goal is not to please other people, but to develop a personal relationship with Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. It's all about balance, being true to oneself, loving and serving others, but not at the detriment of one's own spiritual, emotional, mental, or physical health.
Hey yo, busy brain. Welcome to my podcast. I am Camden Hainsworth, ADHD advocate, coach, and member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Understanding my own ADHD diagnosis completely changed the course of my life for the better. Now it is my mission and joy to provide you with the tools to do the same. Join me weekly. Let's create real results that work with your neurodivergence and reflect a confident life of self-acceptance, growth, and satisfaction. Welcome to the Busy Brain Saint podcast. Let's get growing.
I am so excited for you to listen to this episode, and I recorded the whole thing and it was almost 50 minutes, and I know that that can break our ADHD brains. So I have split this particular podcast about callings, people pleasing, and ADHD into two portions. The first portion is going to be talking more about the education behind why ADHDers often people please, why it might be hard for us to accept or decline callings or ask for what we need in church callings. And then the second half is going to be answering a lot of your particular questions that you had, three in specific. And so it's going to have a different feel. The first half is going to be much more education. The second half is going to be a lot more like coaching and coach perspective on this issue. Please listen to both. They're both awesome, but I know that taking things part by part is a lot more consumable for us. So enjoy. Thank you again for your incredible reviews. Make sure that you are subscribed to this podcast, and let's hop on in.
Hello, you made it. I'm so happy that you are here. My brain is busy and my heart is full. Today's episode is titled Church Callings, People Pleasing, and ADHD. And this episode is inspired by you all. I reached out to you on social media in addition to spontaneously receiving some reach outs in my DMs about church callings and how ADHD may impact how we serve in our callings and our jobs and our responsibilities within the church. And hopefully by the end of this, you will feel validated, you'll have more clarity, have more tools in your toolbox, and just feel a renewed sense of purpose that your life matters, that your feelings are important, and that your emotions can be trusted. So I want to like set the playing field a little bit here. If you are a member of our church, then you know what callings are. But for those friends of ours listening that belong to other churches or don't practice a faith or a religion, thank you, number one, for being here. I think learning more about ADHD and how it impacts us in a variety of different capacities is how we can fight for the fact that ADHD is real in a lot of different ways. So I'm glad that you're here. Callings in our church are essentially the responsibilities and the jobs that we hold, the assignments that we have that make the church continue. We don't have a paid clergy, but church callings are there to help us learn how to serve each other, keep the church rolling, kind of shepherd the flock of the congregation, and make sure that worship is happening during the week and on Sundays, and that all of the different auxiliaries that we have, all the different components of the church continue to work well. And amazingly enough, it is. It's all done by service. And so we don't get formal training, though the church is doing really a great job, I think, at trying to improve the trainings that we do have. Mostly it's just by experience and by coordination and collaboration with other fellow service people. And great things happen because of it. I think it's a pretty cool way of making our church continue to move forward. On our church website, churchofjesuschrist.org, it says that church callings are for three reasons: to help us understand the joy of serving, to help us increase our faith, and to help us draw closer to the Lord. It also mentions that it really doesn't matter which calling you have or which position you have. It's more important that you serve faithfully, that you show up and you do your best and you participate, and that we don't need to be achieving a certain calling in order to achieve a certain status, and that we need to just be focused on what we have been given, what assignment we've been given to help ourselves and to help those that we interact with and serve have a better connection to God. I remember when I was a missionary, I don't have a whole ton of memories of my mission. I lived a lot of my mission on fight and flight. And so it never really solidified in my long-term memory, but I do remember teaching a friend of mine named Edgar. He decided to become a baptized member of the church. And so he received a calling, and he came up to me right after he got called in by the bishop or one of his counselors and said, "Hermana, I got a calling. I'm so excited to tell you about it." And he was asked to be a teacher of the gospel principles class that we have as a Sunday school class. And I remember it striking me that he would want to tell me about these callings. At that point in my life, I just kind of thought, well, duh, everyone that's a member of the church gets a calling. Like, it's just kind of like breathing air. And he helped me see that this really was a great opportunity to grow and to serve and to be a part of the congregation, to be a part of our ward family. And I'm thankful that he shared that enthusiasm with me. It really changed my perspective on how the church works, that we're given these great opportunities. Another thing that just happened maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago is I was talking with my husband's grandmother, who isn't a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but she has grandsons and two of her daughters joined this church. And she said, it's been pretty cool to watch all of her great grandkids and her grandkids from a really early age learn how to give talks, learn how to stand up in front of people and be given a subject and write out a talk or a discourse or whatever you might say, and to present it in front of an audience. And she said how impressed she's been over the years with that opportunity, that because it is a service church, that there isn't paid clergy, that the sermons and the messages that are given on Sundays are not from professionals. They could even be from little kids. And interestingly enough, my 10-year-old just gave a talk a couple Sundays ago because I think the church handbook says you just have to be a baptized member. And I know that there's actually been exceptions to that as well. So I kind of start off by, this is the purpose. This is the driving force behind why we have callings. And been pretty impressed that over the last couple hundred years, how well it's worked out. Now, in addition to that, because these same callings, for the most part, have been established for generations, there become these unwritten rules that can sometimes be a little bit confusing with people with ADHD. We don't know. We're kind of used to kind of being out of the social loop sometimes, or we have felt rejected enough by our peers because of us not quite being on the same page as them, that when there happens to be unwritten rules in certain assignments that aren't laid out in a church handbook or in a manual, it can kind of bring us some stress. And some of the comments and the messages that you guys sent to me had a lot to do with this. So I'm going to start out first, however, by talking about why having ADHD in general may make it a little bit more challenging in order to hold a calling in the church. And honestly, this isn't just like ADHDers. I know many, many people with church callings that have had challenges, but because this podcast is specific to highlight our challenges with ADHD, I'm going to highlight those and hopefully help you feel a little bit more at home and validated with your experiences. It doesn't mean that you have to feel all of these, but maybe it will help. Number one is a desire for approval. People with ADHD have experienced challenges in various aspects of their life due to their symptoms, such as difficulty with focus or impulsivity, time management, and seeking the approval from other people can be a way to compensate for their perceived shortcomings and gain a sense of validation. This makes complete sense to me, because if I can overly try hard to be overly bubbly, overly present, constantly giving cookies or, you know, showing up with something on your doorstep, then maybe you won't notice that I continually forget to pass the attendance around or get the permission slips signed or tend to do my lessons last minute. And so because we want the approval of other people, we tend to neglect what the true challenge actually is. Number two might be a fear of rejection, which kind of goes along with this. Individuals with ADHD may have faced criticism or negative feedback due to behaviors associated from our disorder. They may develop a fear of rejection and work hard to avoid disappointing others, which can manifest as a people-pleasing behavior. And I have a whole nother list all about people-pleasing. But that rejection, as we understand, ADHDers, we feel rejection sensitivity very, very intensely. And so if we know that that's the case, then we are not going to want to put ourselves in more situations where we could potentially be rejected. So instead, we try to buffer and we don't put ourselves out there, or we try and avoid situations that we might be rejected. Number three is difficulty with boundaries. ADHD can contribute to challenges in maintaining personal boundaries. People with ADHD may struggle to say no or assert themselves, leading to a tendency to go along with what others' wishes are to avoid conflict and rejection. So we might overschedule ourselves, which actually was one of your comments and in my DMs, if I can find it quickly here, is that a lot of people are saying to this individual that they say yes to way too many things, and then it gets them into trouble. And this can be a part of impulsivity, which we'll also get to in this list. Here it is. I don't trust my ability to accept or reject a request because sometimes I say yes when I shouldn't. Not sure if this is ADHD, but I get told in my callings that I say yes to too many things. So when we're talking about boundaries, saying yes and no, understanding what our body can handle and what it can't, aligning what our mind can dream of doing versus what our heart and our body is actually capable of, that does not come naturally to an ADHD brain, once again, because that requires regulation. And that's a function of the prefrontal cortex that is underdeveloped in people with ADHD. Okay, impulsivity. Impulsivity is a common trait in ADHD, and this can lead to impulsive, people-pleasing behaviors. For example, saying yes to requests without fully considering the implications of their own capacity. I literally just said this. Okay, number five, hyperfocus on others. Some individuals with ADHD may experience hyperfocus, where they become intensely focused on a particular task or individual. In the context of people-pleasing, this hyperfocus on others' needs and expectations may result in neglecting their own. There's someone that maybe you've looked up to a lot, whether they're a primary president you're serving with or a bishop or someone that you know is just like, wow, if I could get their approval, if I could really be more like them, maybe we see them as a mentor or somebody that we really like. So then our focus hyper focuses on them, and we know what happens when that happens, everything falls to the wayside. So that might be a possibility as well. Lastly, I have social challenges, which I alluded to at the very beginning of this podcast. ADHD can contribute to difficulties in social interactions, such as misreading social cues or struggling with social cues. People pleasing might be a coping mechanism to navigate social situations more smoothly. And so people pleasing keeps coming up here because that is in the title of this podcast. And I think it really has a lot to do with we people please when we are not comfortable and confident in our own abilities. We seek to meet the approval of other people. And so as a caveat of understanding why callings might be difficult for us, I think a main aspect is because we're unwilling to accept that the way that we fulfill on a calling or our own judgment or our gut feeling or our emotions are actually valid and legitimate. And so in an effort to put ourselves down or to not listen to ourselves, we end up listening to other people. So six reasons why people pleasing often comes up with people with ADHD and how that links to callings. So the next part that I'd like to talk about is why this may happen within the context of faith. And it's important to recognize once again that people pleasing and not trusting your own instinct and your own thought processes. This is not just a challenge among people that are members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Okay. However, if we can look at the full picture, there may be certain factors of how you grew up or how you ingested or filtered through what you learned the gospel was that are impacting your response to serving in callings and to interacting with others in their particular responsibilities. For church members specifically, people-pleasing could be due to several factors. For one, members are taught to be loving, kind, service-oriented, Christ-like, which might sometimes be misinterpreted as needing to please everyone. Okay, we see so many examples of people, maybe they were grandmothers or Christ himself or the apostles, the pioneers that were asked to give everything. And they did so to a point where they lost their lives. And some people in the scriptures were asked to do that. And in some ways, we are also asked to give our entire life to God as members of his church. However, how are we most helpful? And sometimes the way that we interpret what's being asked of us versus what's actually being asked of us is false. I do not think that every calling in the church comes with the caveat of, and also I hope that you burn yourself out and that this becomes completely impossible for you to have a healthy functioning life. In fact, if you go to churchofjesuschrist.org, it's completely opposite of that. Under the general guidelines, it says, those who serve in the church are called of God. And then it cites Hebrews 5:4 in the Articles of Faith. Leaders seek the guidance of the Spirit in determining whom to call. They also consider, so here are these four things, the member's worthiness as determined in an interview, gifts and abilities the member has or could develop to bless others, the member's personal circumstances, including his or her health and work, and number four, the impact a calling may have on the member's marriage and family. Hello. So all of these things need to be considered when a calling is extended. It's right there in the handbook. Living with ADHD can be a daily challenge, but there's hope. I'd like to introduce you to Mindful, my ADHD group coaching program, a lifeline for those navigating the complexities of ADHD. At Mindful, we provide you with valuable tools to manage ADHD symptoms, emotional support and understanding, and a non-judgmental community that gets what you're going through. We focus on enhancing your self-awareness, developing coping strategies, and nurturing your emotional well-being. Join a diverse, open-minded group of ADHD adults where you're never alone on this journey. Mindful is here to support you. Visit CamdenADHDCoaching.com/mindful today to start your path toward a more mindful life. Previous to the time we're living in now, mental health was not something that was really considered to be to the same context of, let's say, a physical disability that could be seen. And yet now we are talking a lot more about mental health just being just as important as physical health, just as important as spiritual health, and seeing that we are truly a dynamic person. There's multiple ways of creating health in our life. And so I am hoping and am seeing that more people are starting to consider that when they are asking people for help or asking for people, you know, saying yes or no to certain assignments. Hopefully people are starting to do a better self-check than I think even one generation away from me, like my parents, even more than what they would have been willing to say. And I also think that more people, based on the world that we live in, are suffering a great deal with mental health. Maybe it's not more people, but it's more people that we know of. And so we need to be, if we want people to serve in the church, we need to understand that that is part of the question. And it's beautifully outlined right here in the church handbook. There was, actually, let's go back to the list. Another possible reason why people-pleasing tendencies or not trusting yourself in the context of church callings could be the desire to live up to a high standard of behavior morally outlined in the teachings of the church. Sometimes people can misinterpret these teachings as a need to be perfect or may fear judgment if they don't meet these standards, which could lead to people-pleasing behaviors. This aligns perfectly with what we just read about ADHD and people-pleasing, that if we feel like perfection is truly the goal and that we think of perfection as only one kind of way of doing things well, and we know that that's not the way that our body naturally works, we are sending ourselves to a den of lions, right? Without angels to protect us like Daniel. We are essentially throwing ourselves into a situation where we know we are bound to fail. So instead of putting ourselves through that, we will often say no, or we'll often try and pretend or mask in order to not let the challenge and the hardship be seen. And that doesn't help anything. Unreasonable high standards, once again, are not solely for members of the church, but in a church that preaches about striving to be like Christ, reaching for perfection, continuously improving our lives, it can be misinterpreted for sure. Even more so if certain traditions and ideologies and systems have been implemented in a particular way, kind of like those unwritten rules over time. When you step into a calling and you're like, I'm not doing this anymore, that upheaval, that change, people don't like change, right? And so they're going to give you a piece of their mind sometimes. My husband just talked about a change that, so he's serving in the bishopric right now, and a change that the ward wanted to make for what we were going to do for our Christmas party. And he said it was really interesting to see the differing opinions of how people that have lived in our neighborhood for years and have a very specific idea of what the Christmas party should look like versus kind of these newer families and that have young kids, like what they thought would be most conducive for fun and for connection for the Christmas party. Ultimately, we ended up changing it, and it was a lot of fun and very successful. Lots of people turned up and we had a great time, but that initial transfer of like that challenging of what has always been tradition, like that is setting ourselves up for more rejection. And if we are we don't have capacity to receive rejection, then we'll just kind of go along with it, even if it doesn't really align with what we think is best. Let me think if there's other things here. It's crucial to remember that in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the ultimate goal is not to please other people, but to develop a personal relationship with Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. It's all about balance, being true to oneself, loving and serving others, but not at the detriment of one's own spiritual, emotional, mental, or physical health. God doesn't expect perfection from us. He values our efforts to improve and our sincerity in doing so. And I wanted to write that out so that I didn't forget it. He wants us. He doesn't want a copy paste of someone else and how they've always done it. He has given you the brain that you have so that you can make decisions for the current ward and congregation and callings that you are given right now. And sometimes I think we forget that God knows about our brain. I think of our mother in heaven too. And I think of her understanding of us as like creative beings, as that mother. I think of her, you know, and maybe this is just kind of like Western society roles, but like father setting things up a certain way and then mother seeing more of the fluid nature of creation and just saying, hey, you know, there are multiple ways to get the same kind of result, and kind of leaning in more into that feminine energy, I think, as a woman in the gospel, instead of a very corporate, you know, white shirt and tie feel, helps me feel more welcomed also, that there is duality in the church. It just so happens that the church was established in North America, and it followed kind of the same setup as a lot of corporations and big companies and big organizations did. And that looks very much like a suit and tie and is very masculine. But that is only one representation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's just kind of how we coordinate everything and make everything work now. But it doesn't mean that it's the only way that the gospel works. We need this feminine, fluid, flexible, less rigid type of idea to help us see these beautiful corners that otherwise wouldn't be noticed if we only showed up in a very stringent and strict way of the gospel. All right, cool. So now that we've talked about why ADHD and callings may be difficult, and we've talked about why some aspects of having our faith with ADHD may be difficult through the context of callings, let's dive in a little bit more to some of your guys' commentary. And I'm going to start off by a friend's comment that they put in one of my posts on social media. She says, my most painful calling to be released from was that of young women's president. I was only in for a year, and I made dang sure that those girls knew that they were loved. But as far as the administrative tasks, the planning, prioritization, the delegation, etc. went, I was a hot mess. And so I took it very personally when I was released, as if I had let everyone down because of my lack of organization skills. I have now learned, to manage much of my ADHD, but I wish I knew then what I know now. ADHD impacts us a great deal when it comes to executive functions and how we're going to show up. And that's, I think, for a different podcast, like all of them. What I want to highlight from this comment is the feeling that she had that she thought she was being released because she wasn't organized enough. And she would agree, as well as I do, that that's a perception, right? We're perceiving why people are letting us go. So there's two elements of this. So the first one, let's say that she was let go because she was disorganized. Let's just say that she was. We don't know that she was, but we're gonna roll with this. If I could speak to counselors and to bishops and bishoprics and ward councils that are working with people like this, a lot of the time we don't want to step on their toes. But when it really comes to a council, when it comes to a presidency, what is the role of the counselors? What is the role of the council? It's not to think that we're stepping on each other's toes. It's there to support each other and to help each other and to lean into each other. And so if we see that there is someone who's tending to struggle, what would it sound like if it was, hey, you've got a lot on your plate. Can I sit down and help you plan for the next 6 months for young women's activities? Let's get this done for you. Instead of saying, I don't want to bug them, like they'll figure it out. That's their responsibility. Well, maybe it's your responsibility to support them in the areas where they're weak. I've seen this happen. One of my dear friends who has since passed on, she was the primary president when I moved into this ward. And she was diagnosed with cancer and found out she was pregnant in the same day. And I believe it was during the summertime-ish. And the primary program was coming up. And her counselors and the song leader or music leader, whatever they're called, they told her, we want you to just sit and enjoy. Just enjoy this. We don't need you to do anything for us. And they put the primary program together so that she could focus on her health. And I thought that was a beautiful example of seeing where the need was and stepping in. And thankfully, she was humble enough and thankful enough. And I'll never forget seeing her just a couple rows ahead of me, knowing that she had cancer, not knowing that she would pass away about 5 or 6 years later, but looking at her kids singing up there, God is a God of miracles. And getting that many more years to be with her kids after that, while it wasn't perfect, I think that it was miraculous for me. And her baby was born and he was healthy and he still is healthy. All of those things are miraculous. And because they were willing to not worry about stepping on her toes and just kind of insert themselves and have that communication with her, a really beautiful thing happened. Don't be afraid to help. Sometimes we think that helping means that they're going to perceive something about us. We don't know until we communicate. And I'd say it's better to over-communicate than to not communicate at all or just make assumptions. All right, that ends part one of this podcast. Head on over to part two. We're going to get a lot more into your specific questions and some coaching, as well as me getting a little bit fired up about how I think the world needs more of you, and in particular, how your individualized brain with ADHD is really going to help light the world better. See you over there.